Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing warnings from God. You know, too often we look at the warnings of God as cause for fear. We may even resent God's word for limiting us or making us feel judged. For instance, many people resent the notion that God warns man about hell. Well, hell is real. It is forever. It is eternal torment, and it's final. We should be most grateful for the warning. However, many see it as a threat to their personal beliefs and sense of security. Although their unbiblical beliefs only provide them with a false sense of security.
And Bill, to warn someone of impending danger is a message of love.
That's right.
You know, what lies ahead for those who have not repented should scare any rational person.
That's true. You know, the wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus was King Solomon. And he said in Proverbs 27:12, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And then Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So Jesus was giving us a warning. There's a hell. We should heed that warning.
Absolutely. You know, in life, we encounter dozens of warnings every single day. You know, heeding a warning could be the difference between life and death.
That's right.
And of course, heeding the warning of hell has to do with our eternal life or eternal death. But, you know, every day, like such things such as a hurricane or wildfire warnings, we're thankful for those so we can vacate an area. Road signs that say that the bridge is out up ahead, a warning in bold print acknowledging the rights we may forfeit when we sign a contract. We're grateful for warnings in our vehicles. If the light goes off, we know what's going on. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors will sound an alarm. Security systems will sound an alarm if something's wrong or there's a break-in. You know, there's even warnings before taking medications. And sadly, many don't even bother to read these.
Yes. And yet man has come to expect warnings, but gets offended when Jesus warned us about hell and doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, the most important warning of all.
Right. Now, likewise, there are hundreds of warnings throughout the scriptures given to protect, preserve, and instruct us. God also warns people through his word, through his prophets, through dreams, and even visions. They are given because of God's great love and mercy. You know, that reminds me of a story I would like to share, and it's regarding a vision. When I first started in the real estate business, I went to work for a broker and his wife who were Christians. Well, one day he shared with my friend and I, Bob, who also worked there, a dream that he had received from the Lord. Well, in this dream, he was in an all-glass office. And one day a storm hit the office and blew in all the glass. Well, right after, there were three trials that came into his life. The first test involved a woman, and he felt that he had failed the test. The second was a compromise in Christian integrity and godliness. And then the third, there was a financial test. And all three tests, he felt concerned that he had failed. Well, a year later, after sharing this with us, he moved his office, and it was surrounded by all glass walls. So he moved into an all glass office. Well, Bob and I noticed it and remembered his dream. So we went to him and reminded him of his dream and told him to be on guard for the three tests. Well, at that time, I lived a couple of miles away from that office. And a few days later, I was speaking to a neighbor that I just sold her home to. And I lived in that same neighborhood. Well, we were talking, and across from, there was a vacant field in front of this tract of homes. And all of a sudden, we heard this loud noise. It sounded like a train approaching. But we looked up, and it was actually a tornado heading towards the homes. And we saw it, and we immediately, both of us prayed, and we prayed that it would stop. And God stopped the tornado from hitting the homes and lifted it up. We saw the bottom of the tornado lift over top of us, and it touched down in the city. Well, we found out later that the only place it touched down was at an all-glass office, and it blew in all the glass. Well, I went to work that next day, and I saw all the glass windows broken. Praise God, nobody was hurt. But then I looked at Bob, and I said, remember his dream? So we went to the broker, and we said, remember your dream. You were in an all-glass office, and the wind blew in. So now expect there's going to be 3 tests coming. So be on guard. Well, maybe it was a week or so later, we saw a pretty woman walk into the office. Now, he was only in his 20s, married to a pretty wife. But this other woman came in, and she started coming in every day, every day. And then later, he started shutting the door to his office, his private office. And we found out later he started having an affair with her. So that was the first test that he failed, sadly. Secondly, there was a man came to him and asked him to sign a petition to remove a mom-and-pop shop, hamburger shop, on the corner to replace it with a liquor store.
Yes, I remember that.
So anyway, and they would give him free rent. So the compromise would be he would sign to get rid of the hamburger, you know, place and place in there a liquor store, which wouldn't be godly. But he chose to do that, and he signed it because he got free rent. So that was the second test that he failed. The third test was involving finances, and that actually involved me. Now, it was the last day I was working at this office, and I was on a 70-30 split, and I was going to work for a new office the following day that paid 100%, and you paid a desk fee. Well, I got a call later that day, my last day, from someone that was referred to me that wanted me to list their home. So I went over there to list it, and I thought to myself, now I can list this tomorrow, and I'll get 100%. Or should I just list it now and pay him his 30? I decided to go ahead and list it now to pay him his 30%, to be honorable. And so I went to him, and I told him, and I was leaving, and he said, well, you know, in the small print of the contract, I have that if anybody leaves, I can keep 100%. And I said, you know, I could have signed the listing the very next day, gone back and signed the next day, and I would have gotten 100%, and you would have gotten nothing. But I was trying to look out for you to make sure you get your 30. He said, no, I'm taking 100%. Well, and, you know, and now, so I just, what was I going to do? I just said, okay, fine. But I went to the people because they were referred to me, and I said, look, I'm going to work on your property anyway. I know you referred to me. I was referred to you. I will look out for you. I'll do all the work and make sure everything goes well. So I did through the entire escrow. I held open houses. I did everything. I never got paid a penny, but I wanted to look out for them. And so anyway, so it closed and so forth. Well, 10 years later, I meet the people, the owner of the home that I sold. And they said, Bill, you don't know this, but you know, we were not a Christian couple then. We did not know the Lord. But we went out a few weeks later with some friends that were Christian, and they told us about how Christians have integrity. And we remembered how you did that. You worked for us that whole month and did everything for us for free just to keep your word and watch over us. So we got saved that night. We just want you to know we became Christians that night.
That is powerful.
So here, you know, that was a test in a sense for me, you know, and if I would keep my word and so forth, and look out for them, but yet they got saved. And a soul is far more precious than any money.
Yes, but that's really powerful. So now what happened to him? He failed all 3 tests that
right.
God warned him ahead of time in a dream.
Right.
Plus you and your friend came to him on 2 separate occasions to remind him
right.
of the dream.
Right, exactly. And he just...
What
know,
happened after
well,
that?
Well, it was actually a couple years later he died.
Oh.
So, and he was only maybe 30 years old. So it was so sad. He was healthy, 30-year-old. And I don't remember what he died of exactly, but that was so sad that he died.
Wow.
So
his life was cut short.
Right. But God gives warnings. You know, he was trying to flag him down.
Yes.
I mean, that's a real evident warning, dreams and us telling him and so forth. And how obvious the wind blows in. The tornado only hit one place.
His office. Wow. That is an amazing story.
Right.
You know, I know, Bill, and in the Old Testament, you know, God always sent warnings first before destruction hit.
Right.
I mean, he'd send Israel prophets and messengers to warn them to repent, to get rid of their false gods and their idols. Jeremiah 44:4-5 says, again and again, I sent my servants, the prophets, to plead with them. Don't do these horrible things that I hate so much. But my people would not listen or turn back from their wicked ways.
Boy. You know, Jesus also warned in 46 verses, he warned about hell. And just to give two, Matthew 25, 41 and 46, it says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So there's only two groups of people and two places to go. And then he also said in Mark 9, 43 through 47, "And if your hand or foot or eye offend thee, cut them off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than into hell fire, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched." So he's telling people there's a real hell, and you just do anything you can to avoid it, even to the point of digging out your own eye if it causes you to sin.
Yeah, that's a graphic illustration, isn't it?
Right.
So he's like really talking about how to get, you better get rid of sin with everything you've got.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to end up in hell.
At all cost. That's because that's how severe hell is. At all cost, get sin out of your life.
Yeah.
Repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
That's so good. You know, and the Bible contains many warnings to help protect us. You know, all kinds of areas in the Word of God. You know, Jesus repeatedly warns us not to be deceived. Matthew 24, 4, he said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And over in the New Testament, there are warnings saying, "Do not be deceived," such as Galatians 6, 7 and 1 Corinthians 15, 33.
Right, and we see deception today. It's amazing what's going on today. But anyway, we are warned to repent and confess our sin. Proverbs 28, 13, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." On them he'll have mercy. And he warns about sexual sin. Proverbs 5:5 talks about the adulterer. She leads you down to death and hell. You know, so
that's a strong warning.
Right.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, and then he goes on, warns about our words, what we say. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And that's a strong warning. Death and life are in the power of our tongue.
Yes, and also the word warns us to speak the truth, right, Bill? There's
right.
A verse you always say there in Ezekiel.
Right. Ezekiel 33:8 says, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. In other words, if you don't warn the sinner from his way, as Christians we're supposed to warn them so they can get off that path, and God holds us accountable if we don't. And in Ephesians 4:15 says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ." So we're to warn them in a loving manner, not in a condescending way.
Yeah, that's good. And I know there's warnings in the Word, too, about the last days. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." And the warning then says, "And from such people turn away."
Boy, avoid that. That's right. And he warns us against covetousness and greed. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Boy, that's strong.
So warning, the love of money. It's not money. It's the love of it.
Right.
And then also there's warnings in the Word of God about laziness. Romans 12:11, warnings for us to fear God. Hebrews 12:28 and Philippians 2:12. There's warnings about backsliding. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18.
Right. There's warns of judgment for those who will not repent. You know, Revelation 20:11 and 12 and 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. How severe. So God actually has a book, and he's going to look to see if people's names are in his book. And if their name is not, they're cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. He's warning you, letting you know what's coming ahead. So repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can avoid hell.
Yeah, that is terrifying to think about the people that will have to stand before him at the great white throne judgment.
Right.
You know, and even when God gives warning of judgment to come, in his goodness, the Lord always gives man time to repent and to heed his warning. You know, his love, long-suffering is so evident, Bill, in this verse, which I love, Romans 2, 4, and 5. Yes. You can see God trying to warn man. It says, I think this is the New Living Translation, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed."
Boy, you see how good God is there, tolerant, long-suffering, and patient he is with man. But man continually rejects God, pushes him away, and then they try to blame him. You know, it's just so sad. You know, Jesus said our own words will condemn us in Matthew 12:37. A person's own words, because people say, "I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't believe he's the Savior." Well, Revelation 21:8 says, "All unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire." So there's the warning again. And he said, your own words will send you there because people say, "I don't believe Jesus is the only way." They send themselves to hell. And he's trying to keep them out. You know, let's ask ourselves, what would it be like if we assumed a posture of thankfulness for the warnings from God? How has God spared us from loss or harm? Have we ignored his warnings? Are we spending time with the Lord, reading his word, praying, and taking the time to listen before we start our day? We truly are living in the last of the last days. We absolutely cannot afford to ignore God's warnings.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.